You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina. And globally at WPVMFM.org.
Well, howdy, buckaroos and buckarettes.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. It's very soggy, and it stays that way right on through our Memorial Day holiday, on into Tuesday and even Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms, the high temperature this afternoon near 77 degrees. For tonight, showers through the evening time. They taper off a little bit late at night. Forecast morning low back to 60 with a little patchy fog. Tomorrow, it's cloudy, showers again, scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high temperature 80. On Tuesday, showers, afternoon thunderstorms, and a high near 81 degrees. I'm Bob Kukin on Radio Asheville 103.7.
When systems fail, where do you turn for truth and resilience? Welcome to the Resilience Realm with host Dawn Westmoreland, a syndicated radio talk show host, retired Air Force veteran, author, and resilience advocate. Each week, Dawn brings powerful voices, attorneys, mental health experts, veterans, and leaders sharing courage, boundaries, and real-world resilience strategies. Dawn broadcasts on the Pacifica Network and WPVM FM LP 103.7 Radio Asheville. This isn't just a show. It's a movement for courage, ethics, and justice. Tune in Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Welcome back, everyone. And if it's your first time, so glad to have you here. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. My friend Troy Johnson's in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. Let me tell you a little bit about Troy Johnson. Now, first of all, I did a very high-end video 2 weeks ago with Chuck Gallagher, who's a speaker on ethics, and Troy Johnson. When I met Troy, I instantly just fell in love with his spirit and his soul. He is a good person. When I was doing the video, you get stuck sometimes when you're doing a video. It's 9 to 3. You're like, you don't know what to say. You don't know how fast to say it, slow. He was behind the scenes with Chuck, behind the video, telling me to slow down with the hands and speed up, smile, whatever. It was wonderful. Because you know what? I'm from the South, but I talk fast. And so Troy was over there regulating, and I can't wait to see the video. So as I got to know more about Troy, we were talking about resilience, and he's out there. We're going to talk about the bro code, and we're going to talk about what he's doing today because he has had to overcome many obstacles. Troy, bring it in. Tell me about your childhood. What was it like?
Well, first of all, Dawn, you are amazing. Thank you for the introduction. I'm happy to be here. First thing that comes to mind when I think of resilience, I got to go take it back. Now, people aren't going to believe this. Now, those that are listening, you're just going to have to look at the video and take it back. But at one time, Dawn, my waist size, listen well, was the speed limit. That was my waist size.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I used to be a size 60 in the waist, close to 475 pounds. Now, those that are watching me, I know you're now like, man, this guy's got... I'm going to send Dawn some pictures so she can put it in the video portion on YouTube so you guys can see me then. But when I think of resilience, that's the first thing that comes to mind. So I'll take it back because I know you're wondering, like, who, what, why, right? So born in New Jersey... my grandparents played a huge role in my life. Man, I loved them. Little fat kid. I was the kid that wore the little husky jeans with the double cuff on the bottom because they had to be so big that you had to roll them up. But I never was sad or didn't had any type of self-confidence issues. But today I stand at 46. At 31, I was almost 475 pounds. Everything you can think of when it comes to health issues, from fluid around the joints to high cholesterol, high blood pressure, all of those things I was suffering from. And
gosh, Troy, that's a lot to go through. Were you picked on because of your weight?
Of course I was. Now, I came from an era, Dawn, where joning or cracking jokes was a big deal. Now, I, from a confidence standpoint, I didn't lack thereof because I was big. Now let's be clear. With that being said, I would take that away from them. You know what I mean? I know I'm fat, but you, and then I would finish my joke. You know, and so yes, was I picked on? Did that stop me from being confident? No.
I'm glad that you let. I have to tell you something funny. You know, I had the complete opposite. I was really skinny. I was always called skinny bones, and I hated it. I'm 5'10 at 15 years old, like 112 pounds, you know, just like a stick. And I hate just high metabolism. And I prayed and prayed to gain weight. Mm-hmm. It would take till my 40s till I started gaining weight.
Well, see, you didn't appreciate that until you probably got a little bit older. Like, okay, right? But, and then, you know, you had to come into your own. And that was the same thing with me, Dawn. You know, I'm not going to say it didn't hurt. I just didn't like, I used it as that was a sense of resilience. Like, even in that space there as a kid, I didn't call it that. But I was, you know, I was already forming that muscle. I was already doing those push-ups on the back of the bus, cracking jokes and not even knowing it, you know, building that in me.
Do you think that things like life happens for you or to you?
Oh man, that's such a good one, man. Like that it's perspective. It is, you know, it's easy to say, man, why is this happening to me? It takes a very mature, reflective, self-conscious, self-aware person to see the good and what it's doing for you, you know? So is that important in life? Man, at 46, absolutely. I can't say I had to build that rhinoceros skin, that tough skin, that turtle shell, right? That came honestly done, you know, with some hurt, you know, with some decisions that, you know, were unfavorable, you know, that I look back on now. And I did take the lesson out of it, but it didn't take any less of the sting at the time.
I get that very much. So, you know, I like to dive right in. You know, what is it like today to be a Black male? Mm. What is it like?
That's a loaded question, Dawn.
It is. And I know you have some good responses because I want to know and our listeners want to know. What is it like?
Yeah. I wake up every day as a Black man with a great sense of pride. I say that from a lens of having other Black males in my life prior to me being who I am today that helped me be who I am today. I had a grandfather that lived to be 101. Now, the lessons he was teaching me at 12, Dawn, meant absolutely nothing. But I can reflect now, and I'm thankful that, you know, he was the type of guy that woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I mean, you know, again, it meant nothing at 12, but I can reflect now. He helped me with this thing called work ethic. So the things that you admired and said greatly about me when we first started the show, John Chance, John Chance. He played a huge role in that, and I'm thankful. As a Black man, I'm thankful that I can live the life I live today. But in the midst of all of the BS that's going on, not just for me as a race, but as a people, you know, we're dealing with a lot, you know. So I say all that to say, you know, I still wake up every day with a great sense of pride, a great sense of hope. And I'm living in both purpose and passion. There's a sense of collision that's coming there. Like I'm doing what I love, but I'm also giving agency and voice to people, which we were talking at the studio. Man, I look at that as a superpower, right? There's I am a Marvel guy, so I think I said this to you too. Peter Parker said it best, man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to talk about your abilities with video. I was so blown away because it's my first time I've ever done a high-end video. And, you know, I'm told.
And you did great, by the way.
Or are you being nice? Because I thought.
I am being nice. But you did do great.
I tried really, really hard to do my best. So yeah, it was so interesting. I was told bring four sets of clothes. And today it's amazing, Troy. I mean, I'm just overblown by AI, the good of AI, how you can take AI. Tell the listeners just a little bit about AI and how you can do the videos and just really be outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that, Dawn. If I can help paint the picture for those that's listening. So Dawn came to our state-of-the-art studio on the sixth floor of the Truist building in downtown Raleigh. And in this space, we have a huge 12x12 green screen, multiple 4K cameras with teleprompters on them. And prior to her coming to this great experience at the state-of-the-art studio, we already had a strategy, a goal, a plan, and sent this to her. We approved a script that we put on this teleprompter that is to showcase Dawn as the speaker on resilience. And we did this on via green screen, from these green screen assets. And yes, as you said, we did multiple takes. We had coaching, revisions, and we were there to cheer her on every sentence, every line. And if it worked, great. If it didn't, let's do it again. What I found, especially with most speakers and doing it in this process, once we get to the third or fourth outfit, oh man, it's clicking because we're saying the same thing and doing the same thing over and over again. And that was the case with you, Dawn. And that those are pretty much how it flows, right? The first couple takes, you get the jitters out, and before you know it, yes, it starts to flow because you're saying the same thing over and over and over again. So this experience took about, well, I say about 4 hours. We took breaks. I had multiple opportunities to get drinks, food, and things of that nature, and then come back and making something excellent. From these assets, we now go in the editing phase, and that's where the magic starts to happen, right? That's where we start to now take these and place Dawn on stages as well as in offices, and using the power of AI to create and design and tell a story, all off of a 4-hour experience. Dawn goes back home and we just become excellent, you know? So that's one of many things that we do at the Broco TV Productions, doing business as Primo Productions, for speakers, also creating highlight reels, speaker reels, demo reels, things of that nature.
Yeah. And to our listeners, guess what? People fly in. We have people here in Asheville, some of our top speakers in sales. I know some of the names that come out to you all. I mean, they're willing. It was a 4-hour effort to get over from the west side of North Carolina, you know, Asheville, North Carolina, over to Raleigh, and it's worth every second. And I have to say, you both, you and Chuck Gallagher, are professionals. Now, you talked about the Bro Code. I have the benefit of knowing a little bit about the Bro Code. What's the Bro Code about? Because you started that.
And I did, absolutely. So thank you for that. I've once heard that you could be known for one thing, still do many. I have to go back to my grandfather, man. He retired from Kmart, but he didn't stop. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in photography. He created a studio underneath the house and did darkroom photography. Like he was truly and continued to be a renaissance man. He worked out every day. Like I get a lot of what I do today in my work ethic and my everyday habits from John Chance. But nonetheless, you know, with that being said, we also, as far as our services, have the opportunity to build commercials, podcasting. We initially started to have a voice, again, give voice and agency to the community by sitting down and highlighting businesses, highlighting city officials, connecting with businesses, faith-based community, and things of that nature to really give voice and agency to the community, whether that be sit-down podcasting, live video experiences, such as birthdays or anniversaries, even concerts and things of that nature. Drone activity, as well as working with local contractors and housing developers to sit down and tell their story and create a strategy for marketing.
When did you get into that kind of work?
Oh, man. That's, so, Dawn, in 2020, March 13th. Yeah, it was March 13th, mm-hmm. 2020, the world shut down. And like many, we were sitting at the house trying to figure things out. Well, things that we put on the back burner now started to come to the forefront, because what we're doing right now, Dawn, in this office, I'm at my house, is where it was birthed. You know, it was like, okay. Now, where it's at now and where the idea was planted, two different things. Where the idea was planted was, hey, we are, at the time, it was a we thing, or the original investors or the individuals that originally started with me wanted to, as felt as Black men, our voice was underrepresented. And like most things, purpose is birthed through pain. So it rubbed us the wrong way enough that we said, hey, let's start our own TV show. So this started off as the Bro Code Show. Now it's Bro Code TV Productions. But that happened over 256 episodes, just like we're doing just now. So whether that was virtually, in person, audio, we gave our audience or built podcasts for others. Yes, we do our own podcast, but we produce five for other people, multiple series.
Amazing.
And in that, we continue to use that as voice and agency for ourselves and others. It created value, Dawn. It created sustenance. It created something that people could count on. I knew if I go to this brand, I knew if I go to this site, I'm going to find something that can add something to me. I could find something that could potentially be a resource for me. I can learn something. And when people saw value in the message, the services just came right along with it. Hey, we want to support this. So, yeah, that was in 2020. Here we are 6 years later. Have not only developed the brand BroCode, but have bought Primo Productions and connected with Chuck Gallagher to now have a plethora of services to offer our community. It's an amazing thing, and I truly believe, Dawn, that the best is yet to come.
Oh, my. Well, you both are number one in my world for videos and just high-quality professionals and such. Curious, you know, before this recording, we talked about men and mental health, and you said something about you might want to mention something on the show about men's mental health. I'm curious if you had any thoughts that you want to share, because you've been through your trials and tribulations, and you've come out ahead. But there's some people out there that are still trying to figure it out. They're struggling. They're right in the middle of it. Or maybe they've got through and they feel victimized. Any advice for these people?
Well, first and foremost, we're still in the month of May. You know, it's Men's Mental Health Awareness. I don't know it all. And I'm one of those people that's still trying to figure it out, Dawn. But you know what I appreciate is that I've acknowledged the fact that it's necessary. And that's the first step, man. Like, for the unpacking and the unlearning, that's the space that I'm in now, right? Where I was having this conversation actually on a podcast I produced just the other day with a gentleman, and he was 27, so he's 20 years younger than me. And it was great and amazing to be able to have dialogue, because at 27, I wasn't thinking like that. But nonetheless, at 46, I'm appreciative that I'm in a stage and a space of life that seeking therapy and help is health. Like, mental health is health. It's not awkward. It's not, no, the same way I do these push-ups for these muscles, I got to do these push-ups for this brain, because it goes through a lot. I call it mental gymnastics. And sometimes it's a challenge just to get out of my own way. So I need someone to help me work through that mud, that what I call that messy middle. So if I could speak to myself first, and anyone that would dare to listen, it's okay not to be okay. But I believe in that space, we have to also be okay with asking for help.
Good point. You know, I'm older than you, not by a whole lot, but I'm older than you. And I know I grew up with seven brothers and stepbrothers. And I know, you know, the men were conditioned, suck it up, Don't show your feelings. You know, Troy, when I retired from the Air Force, and I'm not retired, just retired from the Air Force 21 years ago, one thing I learned is a lot of people, right as they're getting out, and of course, there's a lot more men. You know, when I retired, there were 22% women. So what would that be, 70, 78%? That's still a lot of men, you know, and a lot of those guys and girls, you know, to be fair, they were about to fall apart, you know, because they're holding it together because you can't stay in the military, any military, if you have a lot of health issues. And if you have mental health, boy, that can shut you down, get you kicked out. And then they get out and it's like they've been holding on to it forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do you think we should have more empathy or more, you know, how would I say, just more training on mental health, that it's okay to not be okay and to get help and things like that?
I think there's never a lack of empathy. I think that's has been a challenge. So no, I think empathy will always go a long way, because I was talking to my dad yesterday, man. You know, we're walking around with people every day, and you don't know what people are going through. Like, you really don't. You have no clue. And he made it. He said, "Man, sometimes you don't know. You're walking next to a ticking time bomb. You don't know. Like, you really don't know. You don't know. And that's why empathy, kindness, compassion, discernment all go a long way when dealing not only with yourself. But definitely with others. You know, I never think there will ever be too many resources for mental health. Like it is your head and your heart. Your head and your heart, everything flows from it, right? So if any one of those two things are off, but in any shape, form, or fashion, you are working at a lack for yourself. Therefore, what you put into the world, man, it could be dangerous. So to your question, no, I think that there will never be an overabundance of resources for mental health.
Yeah. You know, this is a big subject, Troy, for women and confidence, you know, another real big one, burnout. Mm. Do you think men have a problem with burnout as much as women? And it's your opinion. There's answers correct.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a 16-year-old daughter. Mm. Oh, man. I love my baby girl. She has a very strong mother that has accomplished many things. I'm thankful. When it comes to the closest reflective representation being her mother, that she can see strength and confidence in her. Confidence is something that's built, right? You don't just wake up confident. It has to be built, and sometimes built through uncomfortable, overwhelming situations that you could look back on and say, "Man, if I did that, right?" And ultimately, like I tell her, you could do hard things. And that showed you that you could do hard things and that it's possible. So do I believe we have burnout? Absolutely. Do I believe that sometimes the world feels like it's on our shoulders? Absolutely. For me, I find pleasure and a way of escaping, if you may, right? A therapeutic way, not just from talking with somebody, but in the gym. Like it's part of, innately part of what I do. And I think I talked about this with you, Dawn. It's my way of giving back to me before I give back to anyone else, because I do it first thing in the morning. You know, but while everyone's still asleep, I'm out with five layers of clothes on, trying to viciously burn 1,000 calories. And I found community in that space, because there's others that are doing these same behaviors that have the audacity to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and give an hour back to their body.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable. Gosh, I remember the days of getting up at 5:30 to go running and, you know, and do those things. So I have so much respect for you. So where are you heading right now as far as in the direction with your career? Are you going to stay with videos? Are you looking to evolve bigger? Are you going to take on consulting? I mean, what kind of things is Troy Johnson going to do in the future?
Hey, that's a great question. I love it. I'm excited for the now, but I'm hopeful for the future. And what I mean by that, taking on the relationship and purchasing a company and collaborating and now expanding those resources for services and opportunity to give voice and agency to others through the power of high value media is something that wasn't on my to-do list in 2000 when this initially started. So I'm enjoying the journey, but I touch and agree with you when it comes to 5 to 7, 10 years from now in a place to do the very same thing, build something such a value and of substance that I too now can sell it to someone that is my Joseph or someone that can collaborate and, as you said, heart-led, I love that word, that sees things like I do, like I connect with Chuck. And really help the message, but at that point now the services and the ability to give voice and agency has expanded. You know, now expanding into a consulting space where the same way that we started and got to this level, we now can give that back through courses. We now can give that back through mediums just like this, where we can use the power of YouTube as well as the power of AI avatars to now document the story and educate others that want to work in that same role or want to give that same space, want to expand their business in that level through education.
I love it. I love it. I'll probably be in your classes in the future when you offer that too. Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely.
I'm curious, with Troy, with AI out there and you do videos for somebody who's trying to make their own videos, not high end, you know, just every day for promotional. Do you have a recommended AI tool that you like to suggest?
For a novice or someone that's getting into it that doesn't want the pressure but does want the result, that does want to be able to use, because remember, anything with AI, I would first suggest, and this is going to be one of my classes, is you have to become a prompt engineer. Why? Mm-hmm. Because anything that is AI driven is first prompted. So from idea to conception to flushing out the muddy middle to taking it to another level from one phase to phase two, your best friend in any AI tool, regardless of what it is your ability. Because remember, AI is only as smart as the prompt that it's given. Mm-hmm. So is first become a prompt engineer. Learn. And start with the easiest tool everyone knows, right? It's Chat, right? Just learn how to talk to it in its paid version and talk to it so much that it learns you. Like, get good at the prompting to it, like define and become an engineer in that space. Why? Because eventually all of those things are going to be linked, right?
Makes sense to me. Yeah.
So, yes, I can give you tools. You can go play with them all you want to. But
I appreciate that.
The what's going to make those tools run is your ability to be a prompt engineer.
I love it. I love it. Great advice. We're down to our last minute. Troy, I know people are going to want to reach out to you, connect with you. What is the best way to reach you?
I love it. I'm in Raleigh. Are we able to give the phone number? Is that okay?
Whatever you want to give.
Okay. All right. You can call me 919-714-9905. Troy Johnson. Troy like the movie, Johnson like the baby powder. BroCodeTVProductions.com. BroCodeTVProductions.com.
Got it. Where would we find you on social media? Are you on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, any of those?
Absolutely. You can find the business at BroCoach.